Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tell this, but we don't show prep, so he had no idea.
I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show prep.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here.
Miami Hurricanes, yeah, you know the name already, it's Mercy, ha ha. It's a six-ring cane show, can't forget the name though. Got Jazz, Blue, Vision, DJ, break the game code. Ain't no changing them, ain't no breaking them. We reporting live from the Hard Rock Stadium. Ball 14 for the orange and green. We see the six-ring champs, it's more than a dream. This is life on the field, beyond 100 yards. A hurricane that's never still put a damage to your squad. The six-ring cane show. The Six Ring Kane Show. Yeah, yeah. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the Six Rings Kane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
All right, now that he's gone, we can really get into it. No, I'm just...
now we'll jump on the Jazz bandwagon there.
Yeah, you know, if he shows up early, which he did, he and I were in the backstage like 5 minutes before, you know, he's leaving. Yes. No, more seriously. So there was a question about Jakari Brown potentially switching positions. I'd like to get your take on that, but I personally don't see that at all.
No, he's not going to. It'd be nice, but the kid wants to play quarterback, and there's a lot of places where he can. And yeah. And the whole thing is you wish it would have worked out better for him here, but to upgrade your program and to get it to that level where you're going to be able to compete with, you know, on a national level, you gotta kind of infuse it with the Cam Wards. And yeah, I think Emery Williams is still going to be one of the best. I mean, come on. I mean, he was a true freshman last year, and he went into Tallahassee and gave him a punt, you know, a fighter's chance. Mm-hmm. And I think he's a big kid. He's got a really good arm. He's accurate. And then next year, when you add Nickel to the mix, I think you're really – and Judd Anderson. I watched them last week, and they've got size. The Paffenberger is what he is. And I said that at the beginning, and I got all these people angry at me, and – I watched him. I watched him come out of Old Dominion, and he was okay. And he's a little guy. He's not very big. And
he is. I think reactionary depth. Given that we almost ran, like you mentioned earlier, Blue. If Jakari just said, you know what, I'm not playing this bowl game. I'm hitting the portal. We didn't have a quarterback.
None.
So I think when you experience that, you're like, you know what, we need to get some like solid guys that can practice in an emergency if we have to play. Right. But I don't think anyone's thinking he's the starting quarterback next year.
No.
Like, he's not going to – worst case, even if somehow, you know, Jakari's transferred, Emery Williams somehow doesn't work, somehow Judd Anderson doesn't work out, you'll start Nickel as a freshman. Like, I mean, there's very little chance Poffenberger ever stops here. And he probably starts here, and he probably knows that. You know, this is – but he gets to play in a big-time program for 2 years.
Sure.
It's a good academic school. Maybe enhance –
and learn more and compete, and you know, you never know. You never know what happens.
Yeah, so he's got all that. By the way, I should definitely feel attacked by this, right?
Hey, Melissa. You're just too big to say hello to anybody these days with your hoodie stuff. And
I mean, I'm her co-host. Like, what is this?
Just and I'm used to being left out, but I mean, you know.
Unbelievable. By the way, I took the Metro Plus your house the other day. Today, actually. Gives Dorsey vibes. I think there's leadership there, but it takes more than that. And so, I mean, but again, we have a healthy competition there next year. With Nickel.
Yeah. At a few positions.
But just at that quarterback position with Nickel, with Emery. So those are especially Nickel's, you know, one of the top recruits in the country.
And you never know who they'll bring in next year.
Right. The portal is still there. So it doesn't look like, that's what Jakari's looking at, right? He's, like you said, there's programs that he'll walk in and start right now versus knows Cam Ward's the starter this year. And then,
And he's got good experience and you're laughing at what?
I mean, I'm getting completely attacked.
All right. That's fair. All right.
I would ban her from the chat, but I don't know if that bans her from doing shows, which wouldn't be good so I'll just leave it alone.
When you look at the quarterback depth from 3 years ago, even until just now, and we're having conversations about the type of depth and Emery Williams being, you know, a really kind of key player for the future once Ward leaves the program, and just to have these conversations and not having to worry about whether Tyler Van Dyke or Jake Garcia will start and how far we've come from that. I mean, that's a plus in of itself. It's crazy. Like Blue told a story of his friend showing him the roster from 3 years ago and the lack of depth. And now 3 years later, there's so much depth at so many positions. And the quarterback position is just a testament to that.
Yeah. Pretty soon you're going to be able to show a roster from 3 months ago.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I mean, it's but you know what? Here's the thing, too. Everybody's going through this. Everybody.
Yeah.
Alabama has 12 scholarships that they haven't got rid of. I mean, albeit they're probably just dudes that just came, you know, for the hell of it. But, I mean, there's everybody's got to go through it, and we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens. There's a lot to do during the summer. A lot of these kids will stick around. You know that Elijah Lofton will stick around, and all these guys are going to be working, and that's what you got to do. You know, I mean, you know, they could go home, you know, when all this is over. Just stay around and, you know, be visible, get in the community. See, that's important too. And, you know, and I know they're going to be doing a lot of little kids things during the summer and, you know, be there because those kids are going to remember you. And, they're important. And certainly Miami's got their, you know, now they're all their college, their coaches go to out to high schools starting in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from tomorrow. The spring starts, and you'll see a lot of these coaches disperse all over the country. And then they have the best thing about Florida is the spring football that they have. They actually have games at the end. And what they've done is in certain areas, they've put like 5 teams, 10 games where a lot of these, you know, coaches could sit at one place for the whole day and not have to go anywhere else and see a bunch of kids. And they have a few of those set up for them, and that's the best thing. And then come June 1st, then the high school kids start going to colleges, and Miami will have all their camps, all their, you know, their special teams camps and their line camps and a slew of 7-on-7 events and get more kids on campus. So, you know, it's a cycle that goes year round, you know, other than the 3 weeks in July,
right,
that the NCAA kind of closes everyone down. This stuff is open. And and even during July, you're going to have a lot of activity too. So, I'm excited about it, but it's a never ending thing. And you know, it used to be right after spring, you know, after the high school spring, you didn't have as many college, you know, events. So, but now you do, and that's it.
Yeah. So I was going to debut it on Buckets, you know, seemed more appropriate, but fine. So, Dominic, I honestly don't know what you're talking about. TVD won the job when Manny Diaz was still the coach and kind of held it. Jake Garcia played a little bit against Middle Tennessee State
under Mario. And the opportunities that he did have,
like, he was 38-6 when he got in or something.
He played okay there, but I'm pretty sure that's the only time he really played a lot.
Virginia.
Oh boy, I was at that game and boy I tried to block it out. Yeah,
he didn't. Virginia wasn't one to help his stock
they use that in specialist camps now to show the kickers how much you can get involved in a game.
I totally whitewashed that out of my head because it was like a traumatic experience, and we won that game. I know he didn't play that much, and as Melissa said, he also he's in the portal again, right? Because he didn't play.
I believe so. Yes,
I think he's in the portal. So look, you can't. Not everything is on the coach.
They are who they are, Melissa. That's the deal.
Well, but also, you know, this is, we talk about kids jumping in the portal too early. You know, if he stuck around, there was ample opportunity for him to play last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we tried everyone essentially because Jakari wasn't playing, and you know we. TVD got benched, and there was opportunities for him to play, and he wasn't here, and instead he was sitting on the bench in Missouri. So, you know, there is something to be said for sticking around, having that familiarity. Because I think had Jake Garcia been on the roster, he probably would have tried to redshirt Emery. But he had to play because we didn't have anyone else. So, you know, that kind of shows maybe don't cut bait and run. But, I mean, for someone like Jakari, I don't know where he is on the pecking order right now. But you know, it's not likely he'll play significantly this year, and then you know he's in a pretty heated competition if he's still around next year. So
yeah,
if people are offering him opportunities to play right away, he should be doing that.
DJ, have you seen the two commitments tight end at all? Have you watched any of their film?
I saw. I was watching a little bit of it, just you know, and I was impressed with their athleticism.
They're big kids.
They are big kids, and it reminded me of the tight end we talked about last week as well. And, you know, it's interesting that, you know, Miami is, you know, kind of going, you know, size in terms of tight end, in terms of height. And because a lot of times now the tight end, you know, the tight end position, you know, almost serves as, you know, the extension of the wide receiver position. And yet Miami was able to land, you know, two – very tall kids, very athletic, and, you know, it made me wonder, we were talking, you know, last season, not to kind of rehash last season, but, you know, will tight ends be a factor in this offense? Well, with the commitments that Miami just got, you know, I'm wondering how much we'll see of them this year, like how much the tight end will be involved in the offense. And granted, I think it's going to be a little bit easier with Cam Ward under center, you know, kind of having the tight ends as a safety valve and then the outside receivers. I think having Ward kind of conducting the, you know, kind of conducting the offense will be able to kind of just make everything a little bit better. And that includes the tight end position.
Well, it's not going to be a two tight end system. No. I mean, it's just not set up for that. But what they're going to be able to do is use, whether it's Arroyo or Williams or Carver or whoever's around, but also use Elijah Lofton maybe in the slot as an H-back type guy. And then you have another pseudo tight end if you want to go out of the backfield and have to get paired with a linebacker, which is pretty crazy to think, or a safety.
Right.
In that scrimmage 2 weeks ago, Lofton was getting into the secondary and outrunning the defensive backs. So that's right. What I'm saying. If a guy could do that, he adds another dimension. And there's like Kirk right now, he stretches the field like you want. We needed a wide receiver that's going to stretch the field. And there's a guy that has, I watch, speed, pulls away. And I think that Miami's got potential, but at those positions, everything's got to come together. And I'm kind of glad they're opening up, you know, against Florida rather than a Bethune, because then you can see right away what you got, you know, against it. You know, not that Florida's a juggernaut, but Florida at least is
under any circumstances, do not lose that game, Mario.
Oh, you won't have a show that week.
Oh, my God. We won't have a show. He might as well clear his office out. Jeez. Do not lose that game This Florida team is, I mean, look. They're not Bethune. They're real competition with some talented players. But
but
it's one of those. It's a good solid game to start the season up. Where you should win anyway. But it's good testing your stuff out. It's Not lose that game. I don't even want the fallout. Will be it'll be Hurricane Andrew levels.
No more shows.
No more Hurricane Hotline for Mario. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Actually, you talked about Lofton a little bit, Blue, already. But so I know we tried him some at running back. You talked about lack of running back depth. We do have. I mean, we joke about Tynes Lott's DJ's passion. Yeah, McCormick came back. Riley Williams is still there. Elijah Arroyo still is here, right? I mean, there's a lot of depth there. Even if we, you know, hopefully, even if we get the Tynes a lot more involved, it's hard to see enough targets for all of those guys.
Yeah.
So, and now you throw Lofton in the mix, who's probably the most talented of the group. And it's like, okay, now. So two-part question. You can start with TJ since there's tight ends. Mm-hmm. Who is transferring? Are all these kids going to be here? Obviously, Lofton's not. But, you know, who might not be here? And the second
Carver
thing is,
might not be here.
Yeah, I think that's definitely an option. Yeah. TJ, I don't know if you have thoughts on that tight end.
Yeah, I would say Carver probably because, again, you're looking for, you know, can you make the most of your opportunities? Kind of like a Jake Garcia type of situation. You know, can you make the most of opportunities when you're put – in play, and you know, he just kind of struggled a little bit. I know he didn't see the field a ton, but I could see, you know, the other part when people get mad about, you know, oh, you're saying this player's transferring, he's only been here a year. The other half of it is you have to think that these players realize that, you know, they only have so many opportunities in college football and so many years that they can play, and they want to maximize, you know, their abilities and, you know, their playing time. So a lot of them see this as an opportunity, maybe the transfer portal, to kind of, you know, be able to, you know, start a new career somewhere else. And I think when you look at who's coming in at the tight end position, I mean, I was reading about Schott the other day, Brock Schott, and he was being compared to Brock Bowers. So, I mean, he runs a 4.5 40, Schott does, and, you know, Miami was able to get him from, you know, Georgia, Ohio State were also in the mix for him. But anyway, my point is that, you know, there's more talent coming in that may surpass, you know, Jackson or, you know, Riley Williams and, you know, guys like that. So I could see, you know, Jackson leaving just because it's about building depth at the position. And sometimes when you have too much, you know, one guy's got to go.
Yeah, that's what I was surprised that. And this is not a reflection on McCormick and in any way that we went ahead and I think it's a seventh year. That we went ahead and pushed forward with that and helped him get through that and get the, it just seems like we're back to that position. Blue, what are your thoughts on Lofton then? Do you think he's likely to maybe play a little bit more running back than tight end given the running back issues we have in terms of depth?
I think that's why he did. If you watch this week as opposed to last week, I think this week he had like 3-4 carries, you know, right? 3-5 carries. Not as many. Last week carried 9 times. And they got him. Yeah. He's definitely a guy that they already know. It's sort of like, you know, if you're in spring training and you already know what the pitcher could do, you don't let him pitch as much. I think that's why last week they, after that scrimmage, 2 weeks ago, they probably got together and they go, well, it's sort of like that movie Ocean's 11, you know, when they say, hey, we got our wingman, you know, that type of, they got their versatile guy. So he's one of those different level guys, Vish. And I think that, I mean, he could carry the load too. 6'2", 228 pounds. He's fast. He's, you know, he doesn't get, if you look back to his high school career, he didn't get hurt. And he was playing almost every down. He's playing linebacker on defense and D end and on offense. He's playing wide receiver and running back and quarterback and tight end. So, yeah, I think he's one of those guys, sort of like Ohio State right now saying about Jeremiah. You know, they're going, okay. He's beaten defensive backs that won that were first team all Big Ten last year, like they were like 8-year-old kids. And sometimes you get that situation where, you know, you get a guy on campus. I think Zaquan Patterson, not at that level, but pretty close.
Yeah.
Just experience. And he's a physical kid. Yeah, I just think that you gotta, you know, and it's no cut to anybody. It's not that anytime you bring in another guy, you know, I mean, it's like last week, you know, look at 2 years ago, we're down to a freaking walk-on running back, you know, I mean, so who could say anything, you know, about how much talent you could bring in, whether it be the defensive line, the offensive line, another running back. Hell, if it's going to enhance the package, you know, you got to use it. And that's why I've always been adamant about the fact that when people go, well, he can't play, he's just got here, he's a freshman. Huh? Well, he's got a uniform. You're paying for him to go there. I mean, you might as well let him do what he could do. And that's why, you know, I mean, that's how you and I had this reoccurring dream that after that Florida game, the nation's going to know a lot more about Elijah Loftin just because we could. And if Miami's got athletes, and if he's kind of destroying them, he's going to destroy a lot of people. So he is one of those guys. I want to see a lot more. I think Isaiah Horton's on that path where he could do it. Kirk showed you what he could do. We already have Restrepo in that situation. Now the linebacker, the tight ends have to come through. They've got the potential to average close to 40 points a game. Yeah. They really do when you think about it, with all the firepower. Now, unfortunately, unless they get good pass rush and good play with the front seven, they could give up 30 points. So, yeah. I mean, you get a good quarterback, you know, the Drake May type of guys is going to drill that secondary, especially the corners. They got promising safety. Yeah, that's their first. To me, if tomorrow they went out and got two corners that are really good, Tennessee and Oklahoma kids, that really were, I would say, you know, that's it. That's what you need to do. And then you could start addressing, get an extra linebacker, get an extra defensive lineman, an interior lineman. You never have enough. And, you know, I told that story last week about Leonard Taylor. When Miami got Leonard Taylor, they were over the moon. But he was the only one they got. Usually the Ohio States and the Alabamas and Georgia get two and three of those guys every year. And that's how you become that next level team. You know, and is it any wonder where Georgia could get 17 kids drafted 1 year and then come back and get 16 the next year? It's just that's where Miami needs to get. And I think that they're on, you know, they're the flavor of the day with a lot of these guys. Those tight ends are beating Ohio State and are beating Michigan for kids, or beating Alabama and Georgia for kids. So that's the path, but you got to win. And if, like Vish said, I'm not even thinking about
it. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At that opening game.
If they lose that,
I won't come back on this show.
The balloon pops at that point. That is a must win of a game. Lou, in terms of playing freshman, I see like wild mood swings. It's either you can't play them at all, they're too new, or you know, you play a bad quarter. Bench all the seniors, put all the freshmen in. It's like there's
nothing. No, I'm not saying
that. No, I know you're not saying that, but there's nothing in between with the fan base. It's always like wild swings, and you know, it's the individual player. Lofton's ready to play, so he's going to play. A lot of even future great players are not ready as freshmen. He is, though, so I expect him to play a lot. Shout out to Terrence Sullivan. This is a really good question, maybe as we start to wrap up here. So in terms of the portal and outbound, which position, shout to Ruff for asking this, which position do we think is going to lose the most to the portal?
Well, obviously, from a talent standpoint, I think it probably wouldn't be the offensive line, but the depth standpoint they'll lose because they're going to get a lot of guys that don't even really plug, like Dennis. He, you know, good kid and everything, but he hasn't played. He's hurt. I think they're going to look at the guys that were injured the most. I mean, because you could be eight stars all you want, but if you ain't playing, you're not helping the team. I mean, wide receiver wise, I mean, obviously, besides,
I feel like that's one. I feel like that's one where we'll lose some numbers, but we're not exactly sure what the pecking order is. But yeah, there's too many slot receivers, yeah. And you got Restrepo, who's the leading receiver in the ACC coming back. So
what about like Washington and what Joseph and
yeah? My point is Restrepo is the man in the slot already.
No doubt. So
everyone else is competing for like secondary slot receiver minutes. And there's like you said, there's a lot.
They're not going to want to do that.
There's Washington. There's a lot of guys that are kind of fitting into that mold. And I feel like this
is his last year, DJ. So he's not like he's a sophomore.
I'm just talking about this year. Even like if he's taking if he's the guy,
right?
And then you know. There's not that many backup snaps behind him, and then you have like four or five guys that are ideally slot receivers.
Yeah. Well,
so something will happen there beyond Redding, in my opinion.
I agree.
Even beyond this year, I think you know there's not going to be as many targets to go around at the slot receiver position.
Yeah, and you know it's not dissimilar to the conversation I'm about Jakari Brown. It's not a reflection on the talent, or it's actually the fact that there's a lot of teams that'll go at our backups like Washington, Ray Ray, and say, hey, and I'm not saying those two are going to portal. I actually don't think either of those kids will go into the portal, but you know they'll go to them like, you can start right now. You can walk on this
it's team. Gonna be about, it's going to be about, you know, not keeping these players from other teams, but other teams are going to notice and reach out. So I think it's going to be more a question of, you know, would they stay in the program versus – you know, would they leave? Because, you know, with NIL and everything, you know, it's basically open season in terms of trying to acquire players now.
Yep. All right. So kind of to end things here. Yeah, no, that's true. We might even be looking to add more to the offensive line, which will push more people out.
Yeah, that's what I said, you know.
Yep.
You had a guy who's going to be a senior someplace or a graduate guy who – you know, who could really help them. Let you know, I mean, we never figured on Cohen and Lee last year, and then boom. Right.
Mm.
They were heart and soul of that line.
Yep.
They were
it's like Rambo that year. You never figured you were going to get a guy of that quality, and boom. So it happens.
Yep.
You know, there's going to be a pretty lucky team to get Nigel Lee Kelly, because when he plays up to his potential, he's really, really good. And just, you know, obviously that's a position that Miami really, really went heavily in, you know, with Wayne and all these guys that they brought in at edge and the ends over the last couple of years. So it made that position a little bit more expendable for guys like him.
Exactly.
All right. So just to wrap up here, look, Jay Garcia didn't even last like a season at Missouri and transferred to East Carolina. Look, he's just not good. I'm sorry. Like we want these kids to do well. We talk about them in high school. We hope they come in here and do well. He's just like, there was no fair chance that was going to result in him being good.
He got my Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever jersey on the way.
You pull the trigger on that fast. Got to line her pockets.
Yeah.
Okay, so to wrap things up here, the spring game is the end of spring practice, so we kind of go into another lull period here. So I'll start with you,
Lou. I don't know. We're going to go in the
– in terms of them practicing.
Yeah.
We're going to get busy.
Get a lot of action
the portal is coming. But
we could do an hour portal show every week.
Yeah, we could.
We can and we will. unless you got something else you want to talk about for the next 3 months. But Lou, I'll start with you on this. So how do you overall, spring is the spring, you know, practice game, all that's over. How would you view this in terms of success or failure for Miami in terms of what they want to accomplish?
Yeah, I think they came out of it pretty good. I'm looking at the big picture, and over the last 2 years, they've done exactly what they wanted to do and probably exceeded in a lot of ways, because you never really figured, you know, looking at this team when Manny, you know, was gone, that they would anywhere get 5-star guys, you know, that were being coveted by everybody else. And they did, you know, they went to the Midwest and got Scott, who arguably was one of the best defensive linemen in the nation. The two tight ends that we just, you know, came away with, you know, coming away with a Wade, I mean, a, a, um, uh, Lofton, who was coveted by everybody. And, you know, I think they did extremely well. And then, you know, you look at some of the talent, and I think they're right on target. I think they're going to come out and, you know, but they're going to add some more pieces to it. And come August, it's going to be great. Just like I told you back in December, I couldn't wait for spring. And it really, really was an eventful spring, I thought. I think it lived up to everything that I thought it would be, and probably more, since you bring in a quarterback who's a difference maker and not just somebody who's going to blend in.
Yeah, you talk about adding a catalyst to the offense and a playmaker. I mean, we talked about it earlier. Kim Ward is that guy. But beyond that, you're now starting to see the depth that has been accumulated ever since Mario took over really start to kind of show itself. And, you know, when Mario was hired, we wanted to find some stability on the roster in terms of positional depth, overall talent, and, you know, fixing certain areas and positions of the team that were maybe deficient. Now, there still are some, you know, areas that could be improved, like we talked about the secondary and things like that. But now we've kind of loaded the cupboard to where we can start to compete, you know, maybe not with the Ohio States and, you know, those programs yet, but we're at a stable point to where we can finally, you know, launch to the next step. And that's why, in my opinion, and I'm not going to go on a tangent about this, but this upcoming season is huge, because then that will, you know, kind of give a good litmus test. 2 years with this, you know, with Mario Cristobal, you know, a bunch of his recruits, a bunch of depth. Now what can this team do? I mean, I feel really optimistic about, you know, what they can do. But at the same time, we've had optimism the last 2 years, and sometimes it hasn't always been fulfilled. So, you know, I think I think Miami's in a good place right now. Now it's just about execution.
Yeah, I mean, everyone always feels good coming out of spring. If you don't, then you're really
it's like opening day baseball. Yeah, everybody feels good.
Yeah.
Well, till the Marlins first
pitch. Yeah,
well. But then it goes off the rails. But everyone, if you don't feel good about your team coming out of spring, it's really going to be a bad season. But I do. I guess the one position where, you know, that's probably more uncertainty than I expected is running back. You know, as Bruce said, he kind of discovered and shared with us that Fletcher's injury is worse than we thought. I think we all thought he's the starting running back. If we had to play, he might not be ready. You know, just start the season. No, not right now. He's definitely not. But even to start the season, or might be just coming back, and then that becomes a huge question mark. But, you know, any kind of concerns, or you got Cam Ward there, and you could see why Mario kept going after him, even after he said he was going to enter the draft, until it was officially done. He kept pushing on it because, you know, those are the ones where you take the big swing, and when you miss, you're like, how do we have no depth at position ads? Because you held out for the big swing, but he connected on this one and, you know, hit it out of the park. And those are the game changers you need. And we are a team that was, I mean, timeout and kneeling usage aside, you know, we were in a lot of these games where, you know, not just the quarterback position, a couple of more playmakers across the board
would have switched
a lot of these games to wins. I mean, even, you know, we can, Even some of our top players, like, I mean, we have two safeties that are going to get drafted really high that basically on the last play of the game let Georgia Tech get behind them and throw a bomb for a touchdown. You know, we should have kneeled the ball and the game should have been over. But, you know, those are the types of things where, you know, you've got your playmakers and you've got your game winners. And I think we had playmakers that weren't necessarily game winners. You know, Louisville game running into each other in the secondary. And then obviously the quarterback position was a big issue last year as well. So, you know, minor improvements there can turn a lot of those games that were losses into wins. If you look at the margins and how close those were, and we got a major improvement at quarterback. So, and that's why Mario held out for that. He didn't settle for the kid up in Tallahassee, right? We had the option of doing it, and you can actually see kind of the hurt feelings from the father there that we didn't really pursue him. It's like, there's no point if you can't get the top guy on your board because you're trying to win at a high level. And like I said, sometimes that can blow up in your face because you can end up with nothing. If you keep holding out for the, you know, you might end up without a prom date, but this time we got the prom queen, and it's going to make a huge difference throughout the season. You're going into the first game. It's a rivalry game against a team you should beat on the road. Having a veteran quarterback that's won, played in one big games on the road in tough environments, huge difference. Because, look, we have guys that have played, right? Like Lou said, Emery started at FSU last year. You know, Jakari started some games on the road his freshman year. Not a lot of winning, though. and not a lot of necessarily good quarterback play in those situations. So, you know, bringing that experience, that's the story of the spring to me. It's like, hey, we've got a proven leader here at quarterback. And so it's his he's going to dictate the season. As DJ said, this is a huge season for Mario and this program. You can only so hope an upward trajectory so long until it has to show up on the field. And it should this year. So, yeah, I think we're all excited. And now, as Blue said, the portal is wide open now. So we're going to see a lot of churn here. So stick with us. Action. Stick with us. As always, we're here Monday, 8:30 for Six Rings Canes. Also, don't miss the F1 show and Canes on Deck tomorrow at 9 and 9:30. Six-game ACC losing streak for the Canes at baseball. They did win a game last week in the midweek, but it's been a rough patch. Yeah, I was going chronologically, Miss Impatient, but yes, Buckets Wednesday night. I will be out at the baseball game, so probably a little bit after that, maybe 9:30, 10 Eastern. But we will be doing Buckets on Wednesday as well. A lot of news to get to, especially half the women's team seems to have entered the portal. So more on that. So definitely stick with us. We're on the Five Arena Sports YouTube channel as well as on any podcasting app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcast. This show and all of the shows on our network are on the podcast app. So so stay tuned tomorrow. We got F1 and Canes on Deck. And then Wednesday we have Buckets. And of course, next week, 8:30, Six Rings Canes will be back. I feel like there's gonna be a whole different roster next week when we get here.
We have a lot to talk about next week.
Yeah, so come in here at 8:30 next week and we'll break it all down, and Blue will tell you, you know, stories about players that you've never heard of before that are all of a sudden on our team. Blue will know all the insights.
Blue will break it all down, and me and Vish will be just going, sounds good.
And maybe Jazz will be here too. So anyway, join us next week. Thanks everyone for watching, and we'll be back next week at 8:30.
The Six Ring Canes Show. The Six Ring Canes Show. The Six Rings Canes Show. You know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.